What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018, getting into the middle of the week, hump day, middle of the week, starting a long, slow glide down to Powhatan Friday and getting into the new year, actually. And speaking of which, because I was in a bit of a rush yesterday, I really didn't get to talk as much about the new year as I wanted to in regard to Hawaii's fireworks. Now, when Claire and I first moved here, you could buy fireworks on 4th of July, New Year's, Chinese New Year's, and that was really kind of cool. And then all of a sudden, the state government said, well, we have to ban them because the fumes from the fireworks are posing potential harm to people with respiratory distresses. And I sympathize with people who have damaged lungs. But on the other hand, I don't feel that all of us should be forced to live our lives, you know, by everybody else's limits, but that's the liberal philosophy. Needless to say, the state managed to undermine their excuse because they came on out and said that you could buy firecrackers if you first bought a permit from the city, which actually cost more than the firecrackers. Then that went away. But there's been a booming black market for fireworks every single New Year's. Not a lot of enthusiasm for Independence Day, but every New Year's. And this one was raucous. And I don't really have a quantitative way to analyze it, but my impression was that this was the most fireworks I was seeing going off since the year 2000. And that was just an epic display. And so at this point, it's obvious the ban isn't working. The fireworks are coming on in. People are wanting to buy them. And I really think it's time for Hawaii to rethink the ban and allow the people to have what the people want. That's just my point of view on this. All right, so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And a lot of people are looking forward into this next year, and they're starting to ask, what is it going to bring us? And the question that seems to be uppermost on almost everybody's mind, including mine, is, are we going to see the start of a major global war? And some of the articles we had linked to whatreallyhappened.com, one came from the Saker, 2018, War or No War, and out there saying that Trump administration's new national security strategy shows that the U.S. government is in full paranoid mode. All those other countries, they're coming to get us. And things are not as bad as they would have been if Hillary had been elected. But they're bad enough to ask, are we on the cusp of a major global war? Paul Craig Roberts had an article out there saying how much death and destruction awaits us in 2018. And basically, he's concerned that Russia is being very cautious diplomatically and that Washington, D.C. may misinterpret that as a sign of weakness and make a very, very bad mistake. But unfortunately, what we're seeing, Trump's national security strategy reminds me very much of the policy papers that were coming out of the Project for the New American Century in the 1990s. And they've reformed, they've got a new name, I forget what it is, but they're still putting out these neocon policy papers pushing for war. And according to this article that came out of UNS.com, it appears that the neocons have set their sights on Afghanistan. They've already announced there's going to be a massive surge there. A return into Syria. They're actually putting Russia on the list. And then Iran, the Donbass, North Korea, and Venezuela. And of course, there are other countries threatened by the U.S. to various degrees. But these are the seven that seem to really be at the top of the neocons' wish list. Of course, they're not going to go fight those wars themselves. That's what your kids are for. Now, an interesting little article came out of Investment Watch blog. The Trump impeachment is still the Democratic agenda for 2018. And we're at a situation right now where while Trump has been a disappointment on certain areas, such as the wars, it does look like he's doing a good job. And the new tax reform is really going to help bring jobs back, small businesses benefiting. And by the way, Trump's new tax plan raised his own taxes. You don't hear that in the corporate media. But at this point, the Democrats have nothing to offer. They don't even have a real leader with any popular standing. That crybaby snowflake image has backfired on them. They don't have any policies. They didn't have any policies last year. It was just playing the victim card, playing the race card, playing the woman card. And their agenda is simply to oppose whatever the Republicans are putting forth. That's it. Obstructionism. That's what the Democrats are going to be doing, and hoping that because they can paralyze Trump and the Republican Congress, that will lead to public outcry, which can in turn be transformed either into election victory later this year or grounds for impeachment. Although, again, there have to be specific crimes committed for impeachment. We're going to do a shout out now to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. The New York Times has broken a story where apparently two close Clinton allies paid at least $700,000 to prominent sexual harassment lawyer Lisa Bloom to find women willing to accuse then-candidate Donald Trump of sexual misconduct the week before the presidential election. Remember where that all came on out, and everybody said, all these years later. But apparently, like mother, like daughter, and this is the way Lisa Bloom was coming up with accusers. They were just paying them. Another article over at Veterans News Now saying the same thing. The neocons are apparently back in power. And for a candidate who ran on that message of change and pulling back from military intervention, his national security strategy is essentially reinforcing the status quo policies. And that is a tremendous disappointment. Now, as you know, the situation around Huma Abedin is heating up. In fact, she's trending up on Twitter for exposing classified secrets. And what's really interesting, I was seeing it being covered on the corporate media earlier today, and they were out there trying to use the Comey defense, saying that it was just carelessness that Huma Abedin had all this classified information on her laptop. She didn't mean to do wrong, therefore it's a nothing burger. But again, if you go back and you look at Title 18, which governs the handling of classified government secrets, intent is not required. It specifically says in there, negligence, carelessness, recklessness. The crime is the exposure of the classified information, not what you meant to do. And apparently, another story that's come on out, Huma Abedin forwarded top secret passwords to a Yahoo account. And apparently this Yahoo account was accessed by somebody who was working for the same Moscow bank former President Bill Clinton gave a $500,000 speech to in 2010. So it's really beginning to unravel out there. Now, Donald Trump is demanding the Department of Justice act on this information, on the Abedin-Clinton classified email mishandling. And thank you, Judicial Watch, because they're the ones who pried that that data out of that laptop, metaphorically speaking. So I imagine Huma Abedin is feeling very, very nervous right now. But again, all of this really goes back to Hillary Clinton. The private email server was her idea. She ignored warnings about the use of an unsecured BlackBerry. And the classified info is on Wiener's laptop, Huma's laptop, because of Hillary Clinton. Now, over at The Hill, John Solomon is reporting that Republicans on key congressional committees say they have uncovered new irregularities and contradictions inside the FBI's probe of Hillary Clinton's email server. And basically, investigators have found written evidence that the FBI did believe laws had been broken when Hillary Clinton and her aides transmitted sensitive material over that server. And that evidence includes passages in FBI documents stating the sheer volume of classified information that flowed through Clinton's insecure emails was proof of criminality, as well as an admission of false statements. But again, Title 18 does not require intent. They don't have to prove that she meant to do wrong. And again, I think it's a legitimate question that needs to be asked. Did Hillary Clinton replay Bill Clinton's 1994 Chinagate scandal? Bill Clinton, as president, was running for re-election, used his authority as president to authorize the sale to China of highly sensitive military technology over the objections of the Defense Department and intelligence agencies. And in return, Chinese money was funneled into Bill Clinton's re-election campaign fund, using Chinese-American citizens to make it all quasi-legal. But there was an investigation. It didn't go anywhere, unfortunately. But these Chinese citizens revealed the money had originated with Chinese financiers, and in at least one case with Chinese intelligence. So with that as past history, I still think it's a legitimate question. Was Hillary Clinton selling United States secrets using her weak email server to deliver the product and that so-called charitable foundation to collect and launder the money? WikiLeaks has now dumped a new set of emails, basically proving that the New York Times was colluding with Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State. And basically, WikiLeaks has revealed that a Times reporter used to feed State Department email updates of the stories the paper would be publishing days before the stories appeared. This is while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. And the heads-up email was intended to give State and Clinton time to come up with some spin for any stories that might have caused problems. Or the heads-up could give the State Department time to create a diversion on the same day, thus overriding a damaging story with other news its friends in the corporate media would happily cover instead. We did see quite a bit of that. Big damaging stories come on out. And oh my goodness, look over here. It's a fire. Look at the fire. Now, apparently there was a lawsuit filed by two Democratic Party donors alleging that the Trump campaign and former advisor Roger Stone conspired with Russians to publish the leaked Democratic National Committee emails on WikiLeaks. Now, first of all, we know that Russia had nothing to do with it. It was a leak by Seth Rich. But this lawsuit, orchestrated by a group called Project Democracy, basically was trying to, again, sell this idea that there was collusion between Trump and WikiLeaks and Russia. But unfortunately, the lawsuit is not doing very well because of elements of the First Amendment. And there is a legal process called the Bartnicki First Amendment test. And the first part of the case law is the defendant may not be held liable for a disclosure of stolen information if it deals with a matter of public concern, like the Pentagon Papers. And apparently there's a movie coming on out now about the Pentagon Papers and how they got published. They're trying to rebuild the reputation of the Washington Post. And the basically, nobody committed a criminal act within the purview of the lawsuit. Trump did not commit a criminal act. Julian Assange did not commit a criminal act. And basically, along with defeating this lawsuit, they've laid out a solid case for freeing Julian Assange. He has not committed a crime. And they're talking about what's called a preemptive pardon, which is very rare but not unheard of. So Julian Assange may finally get a chance to walk free. Now, over in the establishment media, a gentleman named Norm Ornstein literally came on out in a speech in front of the Aspen Institute, saying that he was worried Trump is going to order the murder of members of Congress. Now, we've all been making jokes about Trump derangement syndrome, but this guy seems to actually have a case of it, to come on out with an allegation like that. Now, as you all know, Al Franken stepped down from the Senate, and word is now Michelle Bachmann is going to come on in and run for the Minnesota Senate seat this year. So we'll see what happens with that. Over in Iran, things are getting very, very tense. The death toll is rising. And Ayatollah Khamenei is blaming enemies as signs of a deliberate destabilization campaign become much more obvious. Actually, it's been obvious to a lot of us all along. They tried this back in 2009. And the protests, which were originally about economic conditions and corruption, are obviously being co-opted by Western powers to try and bring the Iranian government down. Now, we know that not too long ago, Israel and the United States basically came to an agreement that they were going to go after Iran somehow to counter Iran's influence in the region. Meanwhile, the Iran's mission to the United Nations has decried the U.S. comments over the protest rallies. And basically, Nikki Haley is up there screaming that Iran is bad. How could they do this? And basically called on the international community to back the riots. So Iran is very upset at those comments. Russia came out and said the U.S. really doesn't have a place to criticize Iran because of the way the U.S. government crushed Occupy Wall Street and Ferguson. Remember the article we talked about yesterday where observers were saying, a commentator at CNN was saying, the U.S. lacks moral standing. The world does not see the United States as having a moral basis for what it's doing. This is more of the same. Now, it turns out there is a British group, the Joint Threat Research Intelligence Group. It's a unit in one of Britain's intelligence agencies. And it's a social disruption unit. They create sock puppet accounts and fake content on social media in order to use dirty tricks to destroy, deny, degrade, and disrupt enemies by discrediting them. And apparently they have been targeted on Iran, trying to create social disruption. And word from Iran now is that apparently a European has been arrested for riling up the protesters, trying to get them to go violent. Now, there are no details. We don't have a name, just this initial breaking report. Meanwhile, Iran is pointing their finger of blame at Saudi Arabia, saying that Saudi Arabia is in Iran trying to kick up rioting and protests. So what's going on in Iran? Again, the United States has never forgiven Iran for the revolution of 1979, which kicked out the U.S. puppet ruler, the Shah of Iran, and resulted in Iran selling their oil and gas at fair market prices instead of the very generous discounts that had been given to American and British oil companies. And it hasn't been all sweetness and light because the incoming revolutionary government is highly religious, and prior to 1979 under the Shah, Iran was a secular country. But apparently they're trying to fan up that issue between religious versus secular to try and get people to call for the end of the Islamic Republic. Now, last time they did this in 2009, they made two critical mistakes. They rolled out a new flag for the Republic of Iran, which turned out to be the exact same flag that had flown under the Shah's rule. And that got the Iranian people thinking very carefully about what was going. Second, the son of the Shah went on out and started saying how he was ready to resume the throne of Iran when the Iranian people welcomed him, which, as it turned out, they did not. Okay, we're going to take a break for commercials here. I'm going to go check on Claire. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we'll be right back.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And once again, the address, if you want to support Republic Broadcasting, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you want to call on in and become a subscriber, that number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. Now, for those of you who remember the last attempt to regime change Iran in 2009, you'll remember how blatant and obvious some of the media manipulation became. And it's already started now. And apparently conservative media contributor Kamri Kawahini-Koa published a video to her Twitter feed that purported to show a mass anti-government demonstration in Iran and basically claimed 300,000 March for Democracy in Iran. However, Twitter users were quick to check the claim and debunk it, pointing out the video is actually of protests in Bahrain in 2011. Now, that is significant, not the fact that they debunked this video, but that the public has become very skeptical of anything being fed to them in the corporate media or social media, and they're going on out and checking. And that means there are literally millions of fact checkers keeping an eye on the corporate media. And that is a very, very good thing. should never trust the corporate media or the government. Why? Because they are the corporate media and the government. So already the lies and propaganda are out there in support of this latest attempt to overthrow another country that's never actually done anything to us. Now, Donald Trump seems to have decided that withholding foreign aid is a good thing to do, which in terms of saving more money for the American people, it is a good thing. But the U.S. has withheld $255 million in aid to Pakistan over their ties to terrorism. And it sounds like a real noble reason. Then they slip up and reveal what's really going on, because they mention that the U.S. government will never forget how Pakistan betrayed them at the United Nations, because Pakistan voted in favor of the UN resolution on the status of Jerusalem. So there's a little bit of a gotcha there as well. So the United States has given Pakistan more than $33 billion, with a B, dollars over the last 15 years. Rand Paul is in agreement. It's time to cut off that money. And I would agree as well. I mean, all this foreign aid, it's really an attempt to bribe the governments, bribe the leaders of these other countries to go along with the U.S. agenda. Very little of that money actually gets down to ordinary people, and that's the hard reality. Well, now Trump is threatening to cut off all financial aid to Palestine. And what Donald Trump is saying, now that he has angered everybody and just riled them up by recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, now he says, come back to the peace table. And the Palestinians are saying, no, we don't think so. Not when you've basically given away our capital city to the other side. And so Trump is threatening to cut off all financial aid to the Palestinians. And the Palestinian reply is, Jerusalem is not for sale. But it is very unreasonable for Donald Trump to do something that he had to know was going to inflame the Mideast and then sit there and expect the Palestinians to come back and talk with the Israelis at the peace table, given that every previous talk with Israel at the peace table has produced nothing of substantive value. So I think he's being directed on this one. Donald Trump is also back on the warpath with Kim Jong-un and apparently is literally getting on out there with a nuke-waving game going on. Donald Trump's new message for Kim Jong-un is, we have a bigger and more powerful nuclear button. And there was this photo of Donald Trump holding up two sheets of paper, and one has a little tiny red dot on it that says Kim's button, and the other one has a really big dot on it that says Trump's button. I hope Donald Trump understands how childish he looks doing this kind of thing, especially after the way Bibi Netanyahu was ridiculed for his cartoon bomb up at the United Nations. Would like to see the president start acting a little more presidential. But things may be changing over there, and rather rapidly, because North Korea has now reopened the hotline between the two Koreas. And they're having talks. And what they're talking about first and foremost is just calming everything down. And North Korea wants to come participate in the Olympics. So there's a little bit of an olive branch out there. I think Kim Jong-un is sending a message that he's not angry with South Korea. He's not angry with Japan. He's just trying to deter a U.S. invasion. Now, on the other hand, apparently Chinese tanks, soldiers, and military trucks are gathering on the Korean border and being told to prepare for a war. So we still don't know what's going to happen. We got to take another break for commercials. We have a caller waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go to the phones here right now. George in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well, I hope you make it to the mainland this year.
I certainly hope so, too.
Well, anyway, you know, you hear about Donald Trump talking about, you know, sitting there lambasting the police in Iran, attacking the protesters. Well, you know, the thing is, Donald Trump has a blind spot when it comes to the police here. So he'll pat the back of the police officers here, knowing that they attacked his very supporters. And you don't hear nothing about it. And I gotta say,
yes.
I wish Donald Trump would say something about the, send a message to the police officers, don't act like that idiot in Mesa, Arizona, who shot down a guy crawling on his hands and knees. And, you know, the thing is, most of the cops sit there and justify this. And the only person I know who quit the police academy out in Texas because the train they wanted to get was a 40-year veteran in the Harris County Sheriff's Department. And he sat there and said, looked at this tape. He sits there and goes, there's no reason to draw a rifle. He just put his hands up against the wall, search him, and let him see the gun, and everything would have been done with. But, you know, he said, but this officer was trained to escalate things, not try to, you know, secure things. But, you know, it's just the thing is, Donald Trump has a blind spot when it concerns the police in this country. And I really think, you know, if they clean out the FBI, like they said, the swamp in the FBI and the Homeland Security, I hope they can reevaluate the training of the police officers that they're given.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. But unfortunately, the police officers are being trained to be a force for repression in our own country. This is deliberate. And it's a sign, you know, of the encroaching dictatorship. It's also a sign of impending collapse. But Russia is absolutely correct to point out the U.S. has no right to criticize Iran after what the U.S. government did to occupy Wall Street and Ferguson.
And yet Russia's right. And the thing is, I'm going to start up a white-out petition saying, President Trump, please reevaluate the training of our police officers. You know,
well, unfortunately, you can't do that anymore. They've shut down the White House petition page.
Well, it's coming to saying, you know, Donald Trump, he has the wrong people around him. Because General Flynn, if he was still a national security advisor, we wouldn't be involved in this mess, personally.
Well, I think that's the reason why he's not the national security advisor, is the people who've been planning this war across the Middle East and across the globe. They've been working on this all the way back to the early 90s. And they're not going to let a little thing like an unexpected presidential victory get in their way.
Well, you know, I just pray, Trump fires the national security team. You know, I trust more Howdy Doody to be the national Mr. Brady of the Brady Bunch being national security advisor than General McMaster. You know, but anyway, Mike, have a good, great new year. I'll let you get back to the show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and the phone lines are open again. Now, let's talk about the economy. Over at UBS, their strategist Matthew Misch came out with an observation that we have echoed as well. Millennials have never been more in debt. And it's a combination of rising cost of living, stagnant wages and salaries, school loans, which are a huge, huge mess. And millennials have been selling whatever assets they have to pay bills or cover the college loans. And there's this website. It's described as unconventional dating, called seekingarrangements.com, where basically young people go and partner up with some wealthy older person and trade the relationship for money to pay their bills. A couple of months ago, there was a girl who auctioned off her virginity online to raise money to pay her student loans. Well, now there's another one. This one, the needle on the Bex meter is kind of twitching on this one. There's this woman, Bailey Gibson. She's 23 years old, and she's offering to auction her virginity off at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch legal brothel in Carson City, Nevada. And her story is that she was engaged to be married. She wanted to be a virgin bride. She caught her boyfriend cheating on her, and they had a breakup. And something has just snapped. She doesn't want to get married anymore, and she's going to auction off her virginity to the highest bidder. And I got to tell you, this one, I'm having a hard time believing this one. This comes across as a bit of a scam. But I wish her luck. I'm sure that there'll be somebody who'll go on in for the fantasy value of buying a virgin. Just like all those people who were members over at Ashley Madison, and it turned out to be a gigantic hoax. Nobody was really hooking up for any affairs. It was just a fantasy thing. Paul Krugman is out there with a warning saying that the U.S. economy is far more fragile than it looks. Actually, it looks pretty fragile from where I'm sitting. But it does look like it's being held together with spit and baling wire. A lot of fraud, a lot of rigging for the stock market. A lot of outright lies on the unemployment. And meanwhile, Doug Casey is out there talking about a return to financial sanity. And he's looking at the change in Federal Reserve chairmanship. And he's saying that really the only way this economy can be saved would require some radical changes. And the problem is that nobody who is in the financial system wants to make the changes because the system benefits them. And so basically he admits the chances of the changes being made to save the economy on the whole is zero. The money junkies are in charge. And like any other addict, they can't see the damage their addiction is causing to those around them. That's really where we are right now. Apparently, subprime credit card and subprime auto loans are now in excess of the subprime housing crisis, meaning there is now a bigger bubble out there ready to pop. And it was a real tragedy that Wall Street didn't learn any lessons from the meltdown of the mortgage-backed security fraud in 2008. And the reason they didn't learn any lessons is they didn't have to pay for it. You did. With TARP and bailout and quantitative easing and all the rest of it to try and keep the system running for the benefit of the money junkies. And so they went right back to playing the same games again. And we're back at that same risk again. Now, a lot of people are getting very nervous about what's going on in Iran, because if it does spill into civil war, that could send oil to $100 per barrel. That would be for the cost of all oil products, gas products, and anything that requires oil and gas to use, like trucking. And both the WTI and Brent opened above $60 per barrel for the first time in years. So it's already going on up. And the events in Iran are the reason for the bullish sentiment. Everyone thinks oil is going to be going up. The chaos will cause it to go up. And so they're getting in on it. Now, Barclays Bank has had a little bit of a technical goof. And apparently they were charging their customers double when they used their bank cards. And Barclays said that this was caused by a small technical glitch. It's been fixed, and no customer has been left out of pocket. But customers are saying they're worried of the duplication of deducted payments could happen again, because the bank had a similar problem in October 2015 and 2016. I don't know who writes their software, but they're not really very good. Meanwhile, over in Egypt, their Grand Mufti has issued a fatwa against cryptocurrency, declaring that Bitcoin is banned by Islam. Now, possibly as a result of Donald Trump cutting off foreign aid to that country, Pakistan State Bank has now greenlit yuan-based trade with China. So again, everything the U.S. government does backfires. Pakistan is now going to pivot toward China, and they're dropping the use of the dollar. And the dollar is in decline right now. Australia's big four banks are expected to slash 20,000 full-time jobs through the year in an effort to cut costs and make way for new technology. And NAB got the ball rolling when it announced it would cut its job force by 6,000 to make way for 2,000 digital jobs. And they were followed by Commonwealth Bank, ANZ, and Westpac. Now, I know that businesses think automation is really good, but they're not thinking the big picture. Because carried through to its extreme, you're going to have an entire society where everything is being done by machines and there are no customers for the products and services being offered, because humans are not able to trade their skills and labor for decent wages and salaries to pump back in. They could automate our entire economy to the point where it simply locks up and stops functioning. Somebody somewhere needs to be setting some ground rules about keeping humans employed. Not that they've had that much care about it in this country. We've got, 99 million Americans have not been able to find a decent job in months, if not years. The economy is a mess. I'm still boggled by those numbers of homeless that we were reporting on last week, it's impossible to look at that and not realize the terrible shape this country is in. And their only solution is to try and declare war on everybody else. Okay, getting on over to Europe and immigration. Apparently, an 18-year-old Egyptian migrant has stabbed three college students in Ireland. This is their first incident dealing with a deadly Islamist attack. And apparently, it was a series of attacks in Dundalk County, Louth, which left one man dead. Didn't seem to be any connection between the victims. They were simply being targeted at random. So how's that open border globalism thing working out for you? Meanwhile, over in London, as you know, Britain's mayor, Sadiq Khan, they made a big deal about it. He was London's first Muslim mayor, was elected in May of 2016. And basically, he ran on a we're not racist attitude. Keep the borders open, let them flood through the tunnel from Calais. And the result, in hindsight, was very predictable. Rises in knife crime, gun crime, which is amazing because guns are banned there, thefts, burglary, rape, homicide, and not just by a little bit. It is a significant upsweep, and it's happening all over Europe. And some of these countries are literally forbidding their media from identifying the ethnicity or immigration status of perpetrators of crimes. They'll simply say a suspect or the perpetrator. And they won't give out those details because they don't want the indigenous, if you will, Europeans saying, this has gone on too long. You're putting us all at risk. Our lives are in danger. We're at risk of physical harm and crime because of this idiotic policy of open borders. So there was that article that actually came out about 2 weeks ago that said, oh, no, the illegal immigrants, they're actually far more law-abiding. They're really nice people. There's not going to be a problem. More propaganda, more lies. We can see the problems. It's happening all over. Now, over in Hungary, Viktor Orban is out there drawing the red line in the sand. He's quoted as saying, as we beat the Soviet Empire, we'll beat Soros Empire. So Orban knows who's really orchestrating all of this. And George Soros, I think, is in love with his own legend. Because like the money junkies, he's grasping after that ideal, his dream. And he's completely unconcerned with the real world consequences of what he has done. Now, down in Israel, they've come up with a new way of trying to deal with some of their migrants. And Israel is offering to pay tens of thousands of African migrants to leave Israel within the next 90 days or face prison. Netanyahu declared their presence is a threat to the country's Jewish character. So it's a form of ethnic cleansing, which is kind of interesting because many of these African migrants are Ethiopians who are also Jewish. But apparently, Israel is willing to pay African migrants to leave and saying they'll be thrown in jail if they're still there after the end of March. Gee, I wonder who he's going to get all that money from. It's going to be a lot of cash to do that. So basically, said the migrants' presence is a threat to Israel's social fabric and Jewish character. One government minister referred to them as a cancer. Now, some 60,000 have crossed into Israel from nations such as Eritrea and Sudan, many fleeing war and persecution, as well as economic hardship. So here we have Israel, which has been at the forefront of cheerleading the open borders of Europe and America. But when push comes to shove, they want their borders closed. They want their own society and culture preserved. Double standard. Do we see so much of that from Israel? You Now, the Trump administration is looking at a proposal that may return more than 500,000 Indian tech workers back to India. And basically, he is saying it is time to pull back on these H-1B visas and start getting these jobs back to the American people. And we need to overhaul education system so the American people know how to do those jobs, rather than running around with a degree in art history and wondering what the heck they can't find a job with that. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443, and we'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're just getting a report, apparently a little earlier today, part of Bill and Hillary Clinton's New York estate in Chappaqua caught on fire. And they had to get the firefighters out there, and they got the fire contained by 3 p.m. local time. It's not known how much of the property was destroyed. But, you know, seriously, if you're going to be burning incriminating evidence, you've got to be very, very careful how you do it. These things can get so out of control so quickly. All right, getting on back here to the immigration issue. Here's something Donald Trump is doing that I absolutely agree with. And basically, President Trump is banning welfare for immigrants, migrants. And basically, the new rules are going to be that migrants coming into the country will not be allowed to apply for any kind of welfare right away. In fact, they're talking about a five-year window that they will have to be in this country working, contributing to society, contributing to the economy for at least 5 years before they would be allowed to collect welfare. And he's absolutely right to do this because we have a huge problem with the refugees and the illegal immigrants coming on in and immediately going on welfare. And it's bankrupting some of the states like California. And we simply can't afford to do that. And again, it gets back to what I've always said would be the key to solving this problem. Cut off the financial incentive for these people to come here. And they'll stop coming here. I'll bet you we're really going to see the numbers drop, both of the migrants and the illegal immigrants. When they find out that they can't just walk across the border and get free stuff. And I find that very angering that they're being taken such care of when all these Americans who were born in this country and have lived here all their lives are now living homeless on the streets and there's nothing there for them. It's a very strange priority. Now, over in Germany, things are getting very, very tense. Apparently, the latest Civi poll for Die Welt is saying an overwhelming majority of respondents think Angela Merkel should resign immediately. And 46% calling for her to step down, while only 10% say she should stay. The rest apparently were undecided. And basically, a lot of these respondents are saying that if the coalition government talks fail yet again, Merkel should quit. Now, it's looking like Merkel will not survive her next election, even if she makes it to the end of her term. And unfortunately, the latest polls are showing Ursula von der Leyen as a strong candidate for the next chancellor. The problem is she's a Europhile. And that would be bad for the Brexit movement. It would be very, very bad for the independence movement that is growing in Germany itself. So, unfortunately, it's not really an improvement. It's one New World Order chancellor leaves and another New World Order chancellor steps on in. Okay, we're going to take a break here for station identification. And when we come on back again, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. I'm rather surprised we're not getting a lot of calls today. So, anyway, here's the music, and we'll be back after station identification.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.